Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia, Florida line. What's up to my boy, Jamie Huff, over in Talbot County? I hope you're doing good, my friend, the tax commissioner over there. And I must say, Jamie, you're doing an excellent job, man. All my folks over there tell me that they just love you over there in Talbot County. You're doing an amazing job. You're exemplifying great leadership, brother. So we appreciate that. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do for this region, the West Central Georgia region. It's just so important. And we got to make sure that we continue to have young brothers like you, you know, that's progressing in leadership, because we got to start thinking about the future of this region from a leadership perspective. So shouts out to you, Jamie. Keep doing your thing, my friend. My folks down in Chattahoochee County, I hope everything's going well down there. My family connection people down there, Sherelle Russell, I hope you're doing fine down there in Chattahoochee County. And also my friends over in Marion County, Buena Vista. The Mayor Brown over there, my friend. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing good as well. It's a Sunday conversation with Teddy Reese. And I tell you, man, as we get ready to have this conversation, I just want to remind everyone, we are still in the summertime. I know that we had this little slight cold breeze to come through to cool it down a little bit. We've seen some comfortable temperatures in the 80s. But do expect that to go back up. And also make sure you keep your mind on this hurricane season we got coming up, because according to the experts, you know, should be kicking up pretty soon. And we just want to make sure we watch that, because we are in close proximity. And I also want to just send my best wishes and prayers out to the city as a whole. I know that this weekend we laid the rest, the three children that were brutally murdered over in Elizabeth Canning Homes here in Columbus. And you know, it's just a very sad situation when you have a 3-year-old, 2-year-old, and a 1-month-old who's never got an opportunity to really experience life. You know, our babies, we should be protecting our babies at all costs. And to me, this signifies that we have a greater challenge in our community when our children are now at danger. So, you know, this is something we got to work on. We can't give up on it. It may take some creative measures. It may take some unique ideas. It may even take some new leadership. I don't know what it's going to take, but we got to do what we got to do to make that change. But what is absolutely clear is right now the combination of what we have isn't working. So that's the things we got to do to certainly address that. Every now and then on my show, you guys know that I like to highlight a positive person, someone, you know, that's making big moves in the community. And I got somebody here today, a good friend of mine. I'm so proud of this brother. I tell you, I really don't know where to start, because I just watch him develop so much, from working in the government center to exploring his later steps in life, in which we're going to discuss here and how that impacted him. And of course, you know, his father is a trailblazer here in this community as well. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. As a matter of fact, we'll go ahead and we'll jump right in. I am elated to have here with me today my good friend Siobhan Thomas II. How you doing, Brother Thomas?
How are you doing, Mr. Reese?
I am absolutely great, brother. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be here with me today for this conversation.
And I really do appreciate you for inviting me. I appreciate you. I really do, man. Everything that you do for me, and I love what you're doing, man. And, you know, we'll talk some more, but anything you need from me, you know you got it.
Hey, I appreciate that, brother. You know, one thing that I can certainly say about our friendship is that it's certainly rooted in our love for Columbus and our desire to see our community at the best level it can be, and opportunities that are available for everyone. It shouldn't matter what zip code you come from. It shouldn't matter what the conditions were that you grew up in. All of us have a unique opportunity to make a difference and to carry our life on a different path. We can break those generational cycles that continue to haunt so many of us in our own family. But Siobhan, I'm glad to have you here today. Now let's talk a little bit about you, because, you know, I want to highlight you today. So you're from Columbus.
Yes, sir. I was actually born and raised here. Well, I was born on Fort Benning.
Okay.
You know, I'm a military brat, as you would call it. My father did 20 years in the military, served his country, retired, and he went on
And that's Attorney Siobhan.
Attorney Siobhan Thomas. That's he retired, went on into law school, and man, he has such an amazing story. But as far as I go, I grew up here in the Columbus area. I went to school at Dawson Elementary. I went to Arnold Middle School. I went to Jordan High School. Graduated top 10 in the class. Number 9 to be exact.
Graduated number 9 in your high school class.
Yes.
Man, I tell you, so humble, bro. And just so quiet and, you know, so below the radar. You know, like the song used to say, you moving like the G in lasagna. You know, silent, bro. You know what I'm saying? You just all way up under the radar, brother. But you're doing some amazing things. And so you graduated from high school, and you were working down at the government center for a second, right?
Well, yeah. Well, after I graduated from high school, I went up to, I moved to Atlanta. I went to Georgia State University where I graduated. Took me a little longer to graduate than what I expected.
But you got there.
And, you know, I went through some growing pains, grew up. As soon as I graduated, Ms. Vivian Bishop offered me a job, and I was only supposed to be there for like 6 months. But that turned into 3 years.
And so you were in the municipal court clerk's office.
Yes, I was a deputy clerk up there in the municipal court clerk's office.
And you know, speaking of Ms. Bishop, she is just so awesome, man. Now, you know, I can give you countless examples of her giving young folks opportunities.
Yes.
And helping them grow from a leadership perspective, from a professional perspective. She's never turned her back on her community.
And man, and let me just tell you about Ms. Vivian, man, like my first encounter with Ms. Vivian, she sat me down one day and she just looked at me and she said, "Siobhan, you know, I'm putting out my neck for you, and I'm really doing this as a favor to your dad, kind of thing, just looking out for me, because I was only supposed to be there temporarily."
Yeah.
And then she just looked me dead in my eyes. She was like, "Don't go out there and embarrass me." You know, don't go out there and embarrass me. And so, you know, I never want to do anything to embarrass her or anything like that. Like, she has provided so much for me, and she's introduced me to corporate America. And, you know, I think I owe a lot of my, you know, achievements to her.
Well, but let's be real though. Ms. Bishop has figured out how to communicate with the younger generation.
Yes.
She know we like it straightforward. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't, you know, don't beat around the bush. Just go ahead and tell us.
Yeah, she auntie.
She said it straight though.
She do. She'll put you in check real quick. But, you know, she really want to see people, you know, like me, you know, become something greater. And she gave me that opportunity. She gave me a lot of responsibilities in there. And, you know, I think I owe a lot to that lady.
So you worked in her office 3 years.
Yes, 3 years. And then
you made a big decision.
Yes.
You want to go ahead share what you did after that.
I went to law school. I'm in law school right now. Just completed my second year. Going into my third year.
So law school is 3 years.
Yes.
And I'm saying that, you know, for the benefit of those who are listening, to go to law school, you have to first complete your bachelor's. You can get a bachelor's in anything. It can be basket weaving. It can be English. It can be map planning. I don't care. Ribbon tying. Whatever school will give you a bachelor's.
Man, a lot of people don't know that, man. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, they think they got to do pre-law, criminal justice. And there's some young folks listening. It's important that you know that, because what your bachelor's was in what now?
I got a bachelor's in interdisciplinary studies with a concentration in pre-law.
Okay. And see, my bachelor's was in computer science.
Okay.
And I used that and I went to law school. So, you know, creative combinations make strong attorneys.
Right.
Make very strong attorneys. So you are in your third year of law school, product of Columbus, Georgia, graduating in the top 10 from your high school class. You're on your last year. What has law school been like for you?
Man, it's a life-changing experience. You know, there's nothing in this world that isn't, you know, governed by the law. Like, the law is involved in everything that you do, all the way from you buckling up your seatbelts. You know, anything that you do, the law is involved some kind of way. So why not learn about it? You know, because it's a part of your life, and it's changed my life. Like, I look at things a lot differently.
Yes.
And you know, I see that this is going to give me the power to kind of help people who don't really have a voice.
Absolutely. And you know, Siobhan, I remember one of my friends, and I want to come back to that. People don't have a voice. One of my friends asked me one time, said, "Teddy, how would you describe law school? Like try to paint a picture for me." I said, "Well, you know, before I went to law school, I would read those old Batman comics and I would see, bam, boom. You know, when they were hitting each other, they would put the sound effect in the little cloud.
Right, right.
I said, now look at those clouds, and I see aggravated assault, battery. You know? It ain't right. No bam and boom no more. It's like, these are criminal actions.
Exactly, exactly.
And so it really changed the way you think. You no longer see things through a general perspective. You now see them through the lens of the law.
And you question everything.
And you question everything. You
question everything.
You question everything. Like, you know, I remember I was in law school. I told my mom, don't allow my little brother to ride those kids on that four-wheeler. Because if they had an accident, they going to come after you.
For negligence.
For negligence. Parental negligence. Right. You know, it's just so amazing. But I want to go back to, you said, you know, you want to use your education that you're acquiring to be a voice for those that don't have a voice.
Right.
You know, why is that important to you?
I mean, because you see lawyers, you know, we have to go through 3 years of law school to learn the law. And, you know, a lot of times you still don't know what's going on.
Right.
When it comes to this law stuff. And I've seen situations where the law could, you know, people could, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but, you know, they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Well, they can benefit from knowing.
Right. Exactly. And so
access to someone with the legal education is so critical.
Exactly.
We still have 6 counties here in Georgia that has absolutely no attorney that lives there and practice there. They come in from other areas. And those happen to be small, impoverished, majority African-American counties.
Man, and the thing that hurts me the most is a lot of these people that are going through the system are children.
Right.
You know, these people that are going in the system as children and will spend all of their adult lives inside the system. And, I mean, granted, a lot of the time they do terrible things, but, you know, it starts somewhere. You know, some of these kids don't have somebody to look up to or somebody to talk to or somebody that's going to say, hey, man, that's not what you need to be doing.
Right. This past week, I had the opportunity to go and converse with the players, football players at Carver High School.
Right, right.
And I had 2 of them to come up to me afterwards and say, I've never met an attorney before. This is the first time I've actually met an attorney before. And what was so special, because I didn't look at it as shameful, because I understand, because prior to me getting to undergraduate school, I don't think I had ever met an attorney before, but I had an attorney as a professor.
Right.
But to me, what was so enlightening about it is not only did they meet an attorney, but they met a young black attorney.
Right.
Somebody they can see as themselves. Someone who they can say, man, he did it. I know I can do it too.
And he went to school right here with me.
Right here in this area.
In the same area.
So you're going to have a profound impact here locally. On our young folks, you know, and on those that we're trying to touch the most, you know, do you think that you'll spend a lot of time working in the community helping out?
I have to. This city raised me, mm-hmm. And you know, I always find myself making my way back here. You know, my family's been here since 1994, and we don't plan on leaving anytime soon. And that's all that I want to see is, you know, people. I mean, I don't know why we don't have a law school in Columbus, first of all. I don't even know how that works, but I think we should have a law school here. That'd be nice. But, you know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want these kids to feel like they don't have somebody to look up to.
Absolutely.
And I think that we should definitely, you know, all of us get together and find some type of way to reach out to them. And, you know, let them know that, you know, I give out my phone number all the time and be like, man, if you need something, call me.
Now, your dad, as we stated earlier, he's an attorney. He's a very good one.
Right. I've
called him on numerous occasions to seek advice and leadership and guidance. And I appreciate him for being one of those mentors, because it takes our older statesmen whose shoulders we stand on.
Exactly.
To reach back to us and share the knowledge.
Exactly.
Share the information. Tell us about the potholes in the road. Tell us about the detours so we won't have to experience them. We'll just know what we're doing. What impact did him being an attorney have on you wanting to become an attorney?
Man, that man there, everything about him impacted me wanting to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he don't like to talk about it much, but I brag about him all the time. Like, he grew up in Jamaica, like in poverty. And, you know, his parents moved over here to New York in poverty. And he graduated. You know, he didn't even graduate from high school. He got his GED. Mm-hmm. Went into the Army, served this country for 20 years, put himself through school, went to law school. And I sat there and I watched, like, most of it. Because he was young when all of this happened. And I sat there and I watched most of it. Everything that, you know, he went through to get to where he's at. And I think that's kind of where my work ethic, you know, comes from. Like, he showed me that if he wants to do something, that he's going to make it happen. And he did that. He always makes it happen. And so, you know, every time I see something that I want, I go get it. Because that's how he raised me. That's what he showed me to do.
Wow. Wow. That's a powerful testament to your dad.
Right.
And you know, fathers all over the world hope to have that type of influence on their children.
Yeah, man. And
to
it's,
be able
it's,
to guide them and keep them on the right path.
Yeah, and I just hate for people, you know, I hurt for people who don't get to benefit from something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, just even if he didn't become a lawyer, like, he could have been anything, but just the fact that he was always there and I could always call on him and, you know, I could always talk to him, like, if I had some type of problem, mm-hmm. that was always helpful. And I feel like, you know, he kind of showed me how to be, see, I have two younger brothers. I'm the oldest of three boys. He showed me how to be a good big brother. You know, everything that he would teach me, I would kind of teach on them in my own kind of way. But, you know, that's kind of the benefit of having a father or a big brother, is somebody that know what you're going to face, what life is going to throw at you, and they mm-hmm. show you how you should handle it when it happens. And so,
and that's why mentorship is so important. You talk
man,
about
I'm big on mentorship, man. I'm big on mentorship.
A lot of our young folks are raised in families that don't present a father like yours.
Exactly.
And it's incumbent upon those of us that can, when we can, that we are out there in the community, you know, speaking with the young folks, talking to them, letting them know that someone cares, that someone is there looking out for their best interest, that we're going to fight for them. Sometimes people just want to know you're going to fight for them.
Exactly.
You know, because oftentimes they haven't done anything wrong. They just don't have the resources or the riches or whatever to be in the privileged crew. You know, and they just need someone to speak for them.
And you said a lot then, brother, man, because, like, I don't know where I'd be without my dad. Wow. You know what I mean? I don't know where I'd be without him.
I'm sure there's people listening to you out there right now that can 100% relate to what you're saying. They don't know where they would be without their dads. And as a matter of fact, we're going to take this moment to just give a mad shout out to all the dads out there that, you know, took care of business, you know, were involved in your children's life, whether they live with you or not, because I understand relationship situations. But even if you're no longer with that person that you were with, you should still take out time to spend with your children.
Because you can't get that time back.
You cannot get that time back. And it's so disingenuous when you come back, when they done graduated high school and in college, and you think they're about to make something with themselves, or they done got that you know, that college scholarship opportunity, and you think, oh, they about to go pro. Now you want to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to do better than that. We can do better than that. And, you know, and there are some strong men out there that are doing a phenomenal job. I'm not even going to start naming names because I don't want to leave nobody out. But there are a lot of great men out there doing great things. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more with Siobhan about Columbus as he knows it. Columbus growing up and where we are now. And being a gentleman that's, you know, I'm a year away from finishing law school as a lawyer myself, I can tell you, when you get to that 3L year, you pretty much know the law because you learned the law your first and second year. That third year, you're kind of focused on some other things. But right. I want to talk with you about some things when we come back. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I am here having a great conversation with Siobhan Thomas II. My man graduated number 9 at Jordan High School, went to Georgia State University, got his bachelor's degree, came back and worked in municipal court clerk's office under the Honorable Vivian Creighton Bishop, worked there for 3 years, and now he is 1 year away from finishing law school and having that Juris Doctorate, that JD, baby.
I'm getting 2 degrees, actually. I'm getting my Juris Doctorate, and I'm getting my LLM in dispute resolutions also.
Wow. So
my master's in dispute resolution.
Hey, man, that is awesome. Now for those listening, LLM is an additional degree that attorneys can get once they get their Juris Doctorate to enhance their knowledge in a particular area. It's not mandatory, but in some areas, the law is so specific, like tax law. You can get an LLM in taxation and learn all about the tax codes, which is extremely complicated and things of that nature. So you're getting an LLM in what now?
Dispute resolution.
Dispute resolution.
Yes, sir.
So you'll be able to do mediations and
arbitrations
and
like
those
that.
Things.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the city. So you grew up here in Columbus. You know, you've been here pretty much all of your life, except for your transitions going to school and back. You living in Atlanta, going to school, and now you're in Montgomery going to law school. Mm-hmm. So you spent some time away from Columbus. Do you see the city progressing, or where do you see us right now?
You know, I don't like what's going on with the crime out here. I think we definitely have potential to progress, and we need to progress. And I think that, you know, the people that are, you know, beating the streets right now, talking to the people, are moving the city in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think we have potential, but there's always work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, and it starts with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as what your question asks, I think we're progressing.
Okay,
I definitely think we're progressing, but we definitely need more work.
It's great to progress. You know, you look at the lady that you worked for, Vivian Creighton Bishop. She was you know, one of the first African Americans to hold citywide office here in Columbus, Georgia.
Yes.
And you know, that alone was progression by itself. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and you look at where we are, and growing up here in the area, you say, you know, crime is a little challenging and things of that nature right now. From an economic perspective, you know, unfortunately, we still have some of the highest unemployment, really, this region, and than any other area in the state.
And I don't understand why. I don't understand why that is.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If we're supposed to be the second largest city in the mm-hmm. whole state, you know, why can't we bring jobs here and get people working? I've never really understood why that is. So.
And, you know, and when you break it down, it impacts the black community more than any other community.
And it does.
And we all know there's a direct correlation between high unemployment and crime.
But what do we have to do to get people to bring businesses here and bring jobs to the city? Like, what would that take? See, and why are we not doing it? Both of my parents are Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents met each other in Jamaica, and my dad brought, you know, mom's over here, and you know, she's the rock of the family. She keeps everything together. She makes sure everything is running smooth, and she's the one family member I could depend on. I'm gonna say that in front of my brother. Yeah, she's the one family member that I could depend on more than anybody. And I love that lady. She's actually, you know, enjoying being grandma right now. Yeah, she got my daughter and my niece with her for the whole summer, so she's enjoying that. But yeah, she definitely is my rock, and her and my daughter, I really want to make them proud more than anybody.
Beautiful. And you know, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. I'm glad to hear you say that, but I'm not surprised, because historically, I've said this before, and I will continue to say this until there's no more air in my body. Black women have been the foundation of the African American culture for years.
And you know, I didn't really know that until I went to college.
They have carried us as a people.
They have.
Rosa Parks, what she did in Montgomery. Sojourner Truth. Look at Mary McLeod Methuen starting universities down in Florida. You know, black women had to hold a family together when black men were absent.
Exactly.
When we were nowhere to be found. You know, my grandmother is 86. And I tell her story all the time because she has been the backbone and the rock of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say that I was raised by phenomenal black women that didn't have an opportunity to go to college, but they made that opportunity for me.
And look, man, it's funny you say that too, man, because my mom, she has her bachelor's degree and her master's degree. So, you know, I was blessed to be able to see that on both ends, how important education was and how important education will always be. Like my dad always tell me, and my mom would always tell me that, you know, that's one thing that nobody will ever be able to take away from me, no matter what happens in the future. You know, what I got in my head is always going to be for me and nobody else. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I owe a lot to them people, man. Being growing up in the household with your mother and father, like a lot of people don't really understand how, you know, how precious something like that is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got to try to promote the black family more. You know, because it's really something that's really special.
It's beautiful.
It is.
It's beautiful. If you look at what we as a people, what we've gone through, you know, from slavery to just end in slavery with no transitional plan, no aid to help black people at that moment, to living through Jim Crow, to now we have black billionaires and millionaires and black people owning property and black people holding office, and a black man has served as president. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that is such a phenomenal story, and I can't think of another story that rises to the level of the story of African Americans.
Exactly.
I can't think of another one, and that's why I'm so proud of it. I love the skin that I'm in. I'll never be ashamed of it, and I'll never stop fighting, because we owe it to those that came before us to fight for what's right, and particularly to fight for those that have fought for us and are in their golden years, and we need to let them rest and enjoy the rest of their life. And we certainly got to fight for our babies that's coming behind us, so that when we get in our golden years, they'll be able to successfully hold it down.
Yeah, carry the torch. That's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. And while you're on the subject of education, man, I would encourage anybody who's in college or getting ready to go in college, man, take advantage of your African American studies courses, man. Like I've learned so much about our history, and you know, like you said about how powerful the women are in, you know, progressing this country, you know what I'm saying? Black women. I learned so much more about that, you know, when I furthered my education in African American studies and when I, you know, in undergrad. You know, that's something I tell my brother all the time. Take advantage of those courses, man.
And, you know, black women were able to do that because we were not afraid of change.
Exactly.
We cannot be afraid of change. Sometimes change is necessary. Sometimes change is mandatory. Sometimes change is what you need to get this community out of the rut and over the hump.
Exactly.
To where we need to be, really following that path of progression. Well, Siobhan, man, I appreciate your time today, brother. It was so great to talk to you. I'm glad to catch up with you.
Hey, look, man, I appreciate you for inviting me, man. I really do appreciate it. You know, I want you to come to my graduation, and you know, when you see me step on that stage, make some noise, make all the noise. You know what I'm saying? Be loud out there, man. I want people to do that for me, man.
And we can't help but to be loud, man, because as long as minorities make up only about 5 to 7% of all attorneys across this nation, we know that we got to work harder to make sure that we people of color are represented by folks that look like us. Yes. Not saying that's the only people we gotta hire, but sometimes you need somebody who understands your plight.
Exactly.
And understand what you've experienced. And so, Siobhan, it's been great talking to you, man. I wish you much success on your 3L year. You know, this is going to be an amazing year. It's going to go by fast, so don't blink too much. You know,
man.
Just enjoy it, because once you get done and once you walk across that stage, expectations change. You are now an attorney, and society will be resting on your shoulders, brother, to make a difference. Join the team of us making a difference.
Yes, man. Sir. I'm coming back. I will be back.
I'm going to hold a seat for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. This has been Sunday Conversation. conversation with Teddy Reese. I want to thank soon-to-be attorney Siobhan Thomas II again for coming through and sharing with us his experience, his law school experience, his thoughts on the city, and, you know, growing up here and being a part of the Columbus community. And I'm so proud of this kid. Just another bright example of a young black male doing amazing things in our city. Too often we hear all the negative news, but we rarely get to hear the positive news. Well, today was a day for positive news, and I'm so proud of Siobhan Thomas II. Brother, I know your dad is proud of you, and I know your entire family is proud of you. And I look forward to you guys joining me again next Sunday on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reed. Stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcast. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.